you. Yesterday, we saw from the earlier part of this chapter the question of where your treasure is, where your heart is. And now we see a related question, who your master is. And of course, this is related because the master is the one from whom you expect to receive your reward. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? From whom do you expect to receive your reward? And that has very much to do with how you live your life in this world. Again, we saw last time how the Lord Jesus is confronting the hypocrisy of the scribes and the Pharisees, their self-serving, self-promoting religion. They are doing all these things not before God, but before men. Not to please God, but to win the praise and the favor of men. And of course, the Lord makes it very clear that it is impossible to serve God and mammon. You cannot have God as your master and have your treasure in this world. It doesn't work. Either you will love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. There is a contradiction. You cannot serve Christ and the world. You cannot follow Christ and the world. They point in different directions. They lead in opposite paths. But thus far, when we were talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, we were talking about what we might call a more obvious kind of hypocrisy. These are people who are obviously serving mammon. Not just the scribes and the Pharisees, but also those who are trying to be rich, those who love money. They're obviously serving mammon, right? That's their aim, that's their goal, that's their treasure. You can tell that's their treasure because that's what they're rushing headlong after. They make it very, very clear in the way that they live. This is the aim of my life, to have as much of this world as possible. But here in the passage that we read just now, we see a more subtle form of serving mammon, a more subtle kind of hypocrisy, a more subtle kind of idolatry. There is a more subtle way that we can become focused on treasures here on earth. Not when we are rushing headlong after them necessarily, but when we are very anxious about them. When we are filled with care and concern, when we are filled with worry about earthly things, carnal things, that can also be a way, a more subtle way, that all our focus is here on earth, not above in heaven. This is really a kind of idolatry. When the cares of this world overwhelm our spiritual concerns. Again, it's not that these cares are entirely illegitimate. There are necessary things we ought to care about and give some thought to. But if these things overwhelm, if these things become expanded beyond what is reasonable, if we become unduly anxious and worried, then we are allowing these things to take priority in our hearts, in our thoughts. We're no longer serving the Lord, no longer trusting the Lord, but all our focus is here. We may not be rushing headlong after money, but this is a kind of hypocrisy that we can fall into. We serve a sovereign God, and yet we are so worried and anxious. That's a contradiction, isn't it? The God we serve is really sovereign. If our trust is really in Him, then why are we so worried about earthly things? And sometimes upheaval and turmoil that we encounter can serve as a kind of examination of our hearts. When things go wrong, that reveals in a way where our hearts are really pointed. Are we really trusting in God or not? You sometimes can't tell that when everything is going well. But when things start to go wrong, then it becomes clear whether we have really been trusting in the Lord or not. And the Lord Jesus here deals with this more subtle kind of hypocrisy. And we find here three reasons that he gives for us to put away our anxiety and to trust in God. Three reasons. The first reason is the value or meaning of human life. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, you cannot serve two masters, you must choose one. What is the reason to choose God? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Take no thought for your life, what you will eat, what you will put on, the meat or the food and the raiment. But life is more than these. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? This is an argument from the value or the meaning or the purpose of human life. More than just these earthly things and carnal things. Do not be excessively anxious about what you're going to eat, what you're going to put on. Again, these are legitimate things to care about. You have to care to some degree. The people who organized this camp, who cares on the committee? Unwin? Right? You had to care what these people eat, right? You have to plan for breakfast, right? You can't just say, come, wake up, oh, don't worry what you will eat. You have to plan, right? This is something legitimate you have to care about to some degree, but not excessively. So take no thought here doesn't mean don't even consider it. It means don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't let this concern consume you. Because your life is about more than food and clothes. Much more than food and clothes. And that's why the example is given of the birds. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. These are birds. These are not human beings. And yet they are cared for, right? They don't have to worry about their food. God provides what they need. They don't have to sow. They don't have to worry about harvest. They don't have to worry about how the crops are growing. They don't have to worry about pests that come and eat the crops. They don't have to worry about whether they will have enough to sell, to get money for their families, enough seed left over for the next round, the next cycle of sowing and harvesting. They don't have to worry about these things. God provides for them. Are ye not much better than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? If God looks after them, will he not look after you? Made in his image, created specially by him for his purpose, will he not look after you? The birds, their life is just about meat. It's just survival. Of course, they have their purpose to glorify God, but not consciously, not in the sense of relationship. Their life really is just about what they're going to eat, where to build the nest and so on. And yet God looks after them. For you, the Lord says, as human beings, you have a much greater and higher purpose. So really, this is the first reason. This excessive anxiety about food and raiment demeans the value of human life. It treats human life as if it is no better than animal life, as if there is no greater or higher purpose for our being here than mere physical survival, than mere carnal necessities. That's all that life is about. That's all that we ought to care about. It demeans human life. But God's word tells us that we are made in God's image. We are made uniquely among all the creatures here on earth with the capacity to worship him and serve him, with the capacity to know him. We are not meant to chase after mere physical survival, nor after mere physical pleasure or entertainment. We are meant to know God, to commune with Him and to serve Him. That's our spiritual purpose and our spiritual glory. That's the thing that we demean and devalue when we put it aside to focus only on earthly and carnal things. That, I think, is something for us to take to heart. What is your life all about? What is the value of your life? If you spend all your time worrying about earthly things, but you were made to know God. You have the capacity to know the Creator of the universe. You can commune with Him. Why are you so easily satisfied with the fickle and feeble and fleeting entertainments of the world? Yes, there are things we can enjoy here. But so often these things consume us and they become all our enjoyment. When there is so much greater for us. You are able to know the living and true God. You can know His will and purpose. You can cooperate in His will and purpose by serving Him in prayer. You can do so much more. And yet, we live just like the animals from day to day. Just food, carnal enjoyment, and that's all. We demean human life when we live in this way. To lay up treasures on earth is to deny our Creator's purpose for us. But if we are seeking Him, if we are serving Him, then we can rely on His provision, right? We don't have to be excessively anxious and worried. We can trust Him. We are focused on the thing that is really important. We are doing His will, and surely He will provide for us. We don't have to take time off from serving the Lord in order to worry about all these things. We can simply trust Him to provide. Our focus is on His kingdom. Our faith rests in His gracious provision for our needs. Therefore, we don't have to be worried. Again, it doesn't mean we don't do anything. We do what is necessary. But we are not excessively worried about these things. So that's the first reason, the value and meaning of human life. The second reason is the vanity or the uselessness of being so anxious. This is what the Lord turns to here in verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? That's a simple truth. I think this section has to do with the raiment. The raiment especially as indicating something about our position, about our prestige, about how we are received by the world, how the world sees us, whether it acknowledges us, accepts us, admires us. These things are tied up in the way that we dress, the raiment, right? Very often this is your first impression of the person. Someone who's dressed very poorly or shabbily, the world disregards. That's someone who's not worthy of notice. Remember James chapter 2, right? The rich man comes in. How do you know he is rich? Well, he's dressed in fine raiment. He has the gold ring. Poor man, how do you recognize him? He's dressed in poor clothing. And he's despised. I think that's the point here. Not so much physical height, but stature in the sense of how people regard you. And again, as others have pointed out, if you take it as physical height, it's a bit difficult to explain why, well, a number of things, but why one cubit? Because one cubit is actually quite a lot, right? If you're really talking about physical height, you would surely choose something smaller than that. One cubit is like a foot and a half, which is quite a lot to add to your physical height. But I think the point here is not so much physical height, but stature as represented in clothing. And that's why the thought moves to what you wear, to Solomon's glory in his clothing. Again, this is a concern for many. We're concerned about our stature in the world, right? That's a great source of anxiety. I'm told nowadays, especially among young people, again because of social media, looms large in our lives. Now your life is exposed to everyone else, right? You're all on whatever it is nowadays, Instagram, TikTok, everyone is watching you, right? What you do, what you wear, the photos that are taken of you, they're a great source of concern and anxiety for many people. They're obsessed about this. How am I presented to the world? What do people think of me? Do people like what I'm doing, what I'm wearing, and so on? This is a source of great concern. But what does the Lord say here? Which of you by taking thought, which of you by this excessive anxiety can add just a little bit to his stature? Are you really enhancing your value, your esteem by these things? And therefore the comparison with the flowers. Verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Is it not so? You walk and see the flowers. Here it's maybe a bit more difficult, but they're still flowers. And you can see and appreciate their beauty, right? We all do this. We all recognize the beauty of these flowers, even the flowers of the field. And yet, they took no thought for it. Of course, they're plants, but this is the point. They did not go through all that we go through to array ourselves to be admired by others. This is just what God provided for them. Just simple, natural beauty. And as the Lord says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon with all his robes, his finery, all his raiment. 1 Kings chapter 10, this is part of what was so admired by the Queen of Sheba. The way Solomon was dressed, his raiment, how finely tailored, how much gold and all that was involved. But it is God who gives to the flowers their beauty, their stature, as it were, even above Solomon, their glory. Given to them by God. And these are perishing plants, flowers that only last for a short time. How much more will God care for you? Again, the same movement in the argument. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You will have all that you need. Though the robes that God clothes his people in may not be recognized or admired by the world, these are robes of the greatest glory. Finer than Solomon's robes. The clean white robes of righteousness. This is what we are looking for, right? In Revelation, that's the picture. God will clothe his people in these robes. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And verse 4 before that, thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. These are robes more glorious than Solomon's. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. The church in Laodicea thought that they had all the things that they need of this world, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Obtain this from the Lord. This is something the world cannot provide. The vanity of such thinking. It will not add to our stature. It will not add to our glory ultimately, but take away from it. While we think we have everything, in fact we have nothing, and we have deprived ourselves of what is truly glorious and valuable and worthwhile. While we seek the robes of the world, we deprive ourselves of these far more glorious robes. That's the second reason. And the third reason given here is our knowledge of God as our Father. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Those who do not know God, they are anxious about these things. They are seeking after these things. They have forgotten. They have willfully ignored their purpose as God's creatures made in His image. But not you. If you are God's people, if the Lord God is your Father in heaven, then why do you doubt His care? Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Do you doubt God's knowledge? Do you doubt God's care? If you call on Him as your Father, then why so focused on these things? As if He cannot provide, as if He will not provide. We should trust that He knows our needs and will provide what is best. Because we trust Him as our Father. That's the simple childlike faith that we ought to have. My children wake up in the morning and they assume that breakfast will be on the table. And this is not presumption, right? Because they have parents who love them and care for them and provide for them. They don't wake up worried, will I have enough to eat? By the grace of God. They trust their parents and we trust God. And God provides. So they are not concerned. They wake up and they're concerned about other things. Did my brother take my toy while I was asleep? And that's their concern. But these things, they take it for granted almost. Of course, we have to teach them to be thankful, to be grateful. But it's because of this instinctive assumption. My parents will provide for me. That should be our trust in God. Infinitely more, because He really is all-knowing and sovereign. He will never run out. He will never forget. He will never be too busy. We should trust in Him. He will look after our needs. He is our Heavenly Father. And therefore, this closing reminder. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. While you keep your priority on what is really primary, all these other things will be provided. God will provide all these things for you. These are necessary things, but they are means to an end. They are not the end. You need food, you need raiment so that you can live in this world, so that you can serve the Lord, so that you can fulfill His purpose. That's the end. All these means God will provide, but keep your focus where it ought to be. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Make that the priority. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom? What is the kingdom of God? Remember, the kingdom of God is His kingship, His rule, right? Wherever His rule is acknowledged and embraced, that's the kingdom of God. Every heart that acknowledges God as King, that embraces Him as King, that submits to Him as King, that's a heart that is part of the kingdom of God. That realm where God's rule is enjoyed, that's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God means seek to bring your life under His rule. Seek to bring your heart under His rule. Seek willingly to embrace and conform yourselves to His will. That's to seek the kingdom of God. Seek to enter it. Seek to live as if you are within it. Seek to enthrone His authority in your heart. Seek to reflect His holiness in your life. That's what it means to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek to live as a righteous citizen of God's kingdom. That should be your priority. That should be your anxiety. That's the opposite for many of us, right? If we have not enough to eat, we will be anxious. If we have not eaten enough, if we have not met our calorie goal for the day, we will be anxious. But if we have not prayed enough, will we be anxious? Will it be a concern for us? I have not spent enough time with the Lord. I have not sought His will. I'm not close to Him. My love for Him has grown cold. That should be our anxiety, right? How am I doing spiritually? Am I alive and healthy? Am I walking close to the Lord? Am I serving Him? Do I know His will? Am I doing His will? Have I obeyed Him today? Have I fallen? Have I stumbled? Has some sin come into my life? Have I taken on some ungodly habit? Has my love for the Lord begun to wane? Am I not spending enough time with the Lord? Am I not serving the Lord as I ought to? These are the things that should be concerning for us, right? That's what it means. Seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness. Seek it. Be anxious when you don't have it. Be anxious when you are far from it. Be anxious when there is much that needs to be improved. But our anxiety is the opposite. It's the other way around. We are so anxious for carnal things and so unconcerned for spiritual things. We feel it very acutely when we don't have the things of the world. But we feel hardly anything when we don't have the things of God. We can miss a Sunday worship and feel nothing. We can miss day after day of quiet time and feel nothing. But miss one meal and you feel it, right? It should be the other way around. Not that we should feel nothing when you miss a meal, but we should feel far more concern for the state of our souls than just for physical health. Physical health is important. But the health of our souls is far more important. That should be our great concern. If anything should occupy us, that's what should occupy us. Again, it doesn't mean that we utterly forget about earthly things. We do what is necessary, but those things are not the priority for us. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Deal with the spiritual evils and problems of today. Overcome them by the grace of God, according to His word. Leave the physical things of tomorrow to the Lord. Get your heart right. Get your priority right. If we are walking with the Lord, if we have the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and we can rest assured, all these things shall be added unto you. This is a reminder for us in uncertain times. I think you can see how this ties into your theme, right? Trust God in uncertain times because you have your priorities right. You're not worried. God has His purpose for you even in such times. Seek His will and obey His will and trust in Him to provide all that you need. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And thank you for this reminder. Help us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first and trust in you to provide our needs. Watch over us and bless us through this day. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.